What kind of values was this study actually looking at?
Well, we were looking at the extent that young people wanted to pursue what we'd consider pro-social values, like helping others, promoting the common good, making a difference in the world, connecting with others, having real relationships, those kinds of things, versus, you know, money, power, wealth, and the other kinds of values that are more materialistic.
And how was the research actually performed?
Well, we followed young people in a longitudinal study from grade 7, so when they started high school, to when they left high school. And we measured their values, and we also measured how the parenting style of the parents. And so we were able to track how that early parenting and how different kinds of parenting influenced their value development.
And what kind of correlations did we see?
Well, basically we see that if there's a few things you don't want to do as a parent based on this research. Some of the worst style that you can use is to use what we call love withdrawal, which is where you, if a young person does something wrong, you withdraw your love from them, symbolically or however. So you kind of punish them by making them feel guilty, ashamed, and like you're not going to be there for them. That's a kind of style that leads to poor value development. Because what happens is the person feels guilty, the young person feels ashamed, and they never own their values. They become unmotivated. They don't want to do the things which would be good for the community. So shame and love withdrawal are very poor ways to parent.
What were some more positive ways of encouraging good values, good behavior?
Yeah, well, you do have to be assertive as a parent, which means you do have to draw boundaries and there has to be clear consequences for violating those boundaries. But generally, the parents were more supportive of the young person's own autonomy, which means that they drew boundaries, but they also asked the young person what they would choose. They explained why the boundaries were there. And they, in every moment when they could give a chance for the young person to make a choice on their own, they did that. So it was very supportive of the young person developing their own inner voice rather than having an inner voice that's more driven by guilt and shame.
Can it be a little bit difficult in some of these situations to see, well, you might be trying to enforce these good behaviours with these kind of behaviours, these rule setting and the like. If you push too hard, we can flip them the other way and end up, well, teenagers, you know how it is. They are sort of genetically inclined to rebel. Can we push too hard on some of these values?
Certainly. So the trick is, what we found is it wasn't, you don't necessarily have to tell them what values they have. Most human beings will find values like connecting with others, contributing to their community. If you ask most teens, they already value this stuff, these kind of kind values, these pro-social values, things that involve them getting connected with their fellow humans. So that's already going to be there. So you don't have to force it on them. But the more we force it on them, the more they hear our voice instead of their own voice, the less likely they are to do it. So they will naturally come to pro-social values. They will naturally realize, if you ask a 13-year-old what they value, they'll say friendship and connection and their family. They'll say that. So we don't need to force it upon them. We just need to help them to hear their own inner voice, which will be pro-social.
Mm. And, is it possible for parents that maybe aren't representing these values themselves to be raising kids that really, still value these kinds of things? I mean, is it a case of can we get away with, I suppose, saying do as I say, not as I do?
I don't think so. It's unfortunate because it makes it much harder on the parent, because the parent has to be now a kind of an ideal example of the kind of human they want the young person to become. But my experience is that the young person pays attention to what you do, not what you say. So, I think the parent has to be a model.
Mm. And, scientifically speaking, objectively speaking, is there a way of saying, well, this parenting style is better than others? This is how you should be adjusting your behavior if you value these same great values as that you want to encourage in the kids.
Yes, there is clear evidence for what parenting style is the best. It doesn't tend to use a lot of punishment and guilt. Rather, it draws boundaries but explains the reasons for those boundaries, but involves warmth, caring, involves the parent being involved and knowing what's going on in the young person's life, and giving them a chance to make choices when they can, giving the young person a chance to develop their own autonomy. So that is clearly not just for value development, but clearly that kind of parenting, autonomy, supportive parenting is good for the young person's well-being.
For anybody who might want to unpack this one a little bit further to get some tips on their own sort of parenting, is there the research out there that is accessible to those that might be interested?
Yeah, look, there's a group in Queensland that runs a program called Triple P, which is positive parenting, and they have really good, they have great stuff on how to engage, do positive parenting, this kind of parenting. So everything I'm saying, they base their stuff on science, and they've researched their program, and there's lots of practical tips there.
Well, Joseph, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this one.
No worries.